With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Keith Parrish for your weekend update. Before we start, don't forget, if you are not already a subscriber, great way to start off the new year, $3.99 a month. Just go to theathletic.com/NBA show and sign up. Got a lot of stuff to get to. It was a pretty big weekend, so we're going to jump right in. The Chicago Bulls had a decent weekend. 2-0, picked up back-to-back close wins Friday night, Saturday night. Not too much more to that story, right, Keith? Just boring wins.
Nothing else to talk about. Just your regular run-of-the-mill victories. No highlights from them?
No.
I mean, come on. We're joking around because DeMar DeRozan, perhaps the greatest two-guard in Chicago Bulls history, DeMar DeRozan knocks down buzzer-beater three-pointers on consecutive days, and these were like the full-value three-pointer. This is not a tie game. Like, oh, it doesn't matter if I miss, we're going to overtime. We're talking about losing in both games, hands in his face, doing runners off one foot on both of them, knocks him down. DeMar DeRozan, the hero of the weekend, ended the year with a buzzer beater, started the new year with a buzzer beater. Just incredible stuff.
First time in NBA history that's happened. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
I'm not going to look it up, but I am just going to say
first time someone has closed out a calendar year and started a calendar year with buzzer beaters. DeMar DeRozan was excellent. Let's start with Friday night. This one-legged contested buzzer beater shot, that was three of his 28 points. I mean, not only is he hitting these buzzer beaters, but he's also just dominant. I mean, he's had a fantastic week, and he capped it off in the most spectacular fashion. Zach LaVine had 17 in this game. They were down 106-105. Bulls really got nothing going, and he's just dribbling out top with two guys in front of him. And it's the Patrick Ewing step back one-legged only, step forward one-legged. And it was just so much fun. And you just see the vibes around that team. The vibes are great right now.
Things are going so well for the Bulls. They're in first place in the Eastern Conference. They've won seven consecutive games overall. And even the winner on Saturday night, it was his first three-point attempt for the game. Take that, analytics folks. His first three-point attempt to the game knocks it down. And yeah, you feel bad for the Wizards. The Wizards had been undefeated this season in games with a margin of victory within 3 points. And so Kuzma looked like he was the big hero, knocks on that big three. But no. You're dealing with a superhero on the Bulls side, DeMar DeRozan, possibly our Eastern Conference Player of the Week. You know, knocks it down. And will the heroics continue, I guess? Can he go for three straight?
I'm going to go ahead and say it's probably not going to happen. Zach LaVine in that game against the Wizards had 35 points. And, you know, it got me thinking when I was watching this game, this might be the two starting guards in the Eastern Conference All-Star game. I mean, they're having that kind of a season.
I would have to think the fan vote isn't going to get us there. I haven't thought about it in a little bit. But yeah, it feels like the backcourt in the East has been up for grabs the past couple years. You know, like, I don't think James Harden, he's not getting voted in. Maybe, I doubt it. Yeah, I mean, I wonder who's going to make it. Trae Young had some success, but the Hawks being as low in the standings as they are, is it possible to have two teammates on the same team get voted in? That would be, that'd certainly be something. I would be stunned, of course, if they both don't make it. It seems clear both those guys are going to be, if not starters, perhaps closers for the All-Star game.
Yeah, we should mention Nikola Vucevic, again, has found his footing now at about the midpoint of the season. On Friday night, 14 points, 16 rebounds for the Bulls, and then on Saturday night had 13 points, 12 rebounds. But the shooting has been instrumental to his turnaround because getting rebounds is great, and you need that from your center. But him knocking down shots actually opens up stuff at the basket for this team, and this is part of the secret to DeMar and Zach LaVine having even greater success is that Vooch has been the third component of their little big three.
And you really needed Vooch to show out on Saturday night against the Wizards because you had a little bit of a Daniel Gafford revenge game. They traded Daniel Gafford for basically nothing. And Daniel Gafford is shooting 90% over the last three games. He was 9 for 10 from the field in this game in just about 20 minutes. So it was important for Vucevic to not be outplayed by Gafford, who the Bulls let go.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more. We had a huge game Saturday night as the Warriors went to Salt Lake City to play the Jazz. And, you know, it's not often over the years that these marquee matchups have sort of lived up to the hype. But it seems like every time the Warriors have a big game, everybody shows up, and this was no different. Now, the Warriors started out this game fantastic. I mean, they won the first two quarters. They looked like they were going to cruise to a victory. And then Utah had a massive, monster third quarter, outscoring the Warriors 41-22 to put pressure on the Warriors and make them actually have to come out and play basketball in the fourth. But it's the Warriors, and they have Steph Curry, and Steph Curry does Steph Curry things. And, Keith, this is just another Saturday night in the NBA when you've got Steph Curry on your team.
Yeah, it was a remarkable game. And I do feel like it lived up to the expectations. I feel like it was like Christmas Day where it was Warriors Suns watching it. I'm just like, these teams are so good. And both the Jazz and the Warriors, I feel like coming to the final minutes, it was definitely a toss-up game. You had the Jazz who were on fire. Donovan Mitchell had a terrible shooting game. The Jazz also struggled with whenever Gobert went off the court. Like, they had to play Rudy Gay at the five, and the Warriors feasted on those minutes. And I feel like a lot of people are trying to draw conclusions about, like, which one's the better team, and like, oh, is this some kind of referendum on Rudy Gobert again? Like, no, the Jazz were plus 10 when Gobert was in the game. They got smoked when he had to leave, and they actually needed, like, Hassan Whiteside, possibly, who was out. I believe he has a concussion right now. And so it could have gone either way, despite the Jazz not having a backup center, despite Donovan Mitchell having an off game. And yeah, I give credit to the Warriors for winning. They look like the best team in the West, but it's not like the Jazz are far behind, and it's not like the Suns are far behind. Those three teams right now, I'm hard pressed to pick which one even is the best. I mean, I'm not going to get mad if anyone yells at me and is like, yeah, it's the Warriors. Sure. Absolutely. They have the best record, and Steph Curry's incredible. Draymond Green's incredible. But all three of those teams right now are just playing so well, and it's just going to come down to, I don't know, injuries and luck when we get to the playoffs.
And we should note that Draymond Green's still in the health and safety protocol, so he was out for this game. So the Warriors not at full strength. And, you know, I know that there's been a lot of conversation about that. Utah was at a rest disadvantage, and I know that Utah fans and the media there in particular, they love to point out any sort of disadvantage that their team has, but it is a regular season. Everybody's got to play a bunch of games. Maybe just quit talking about that because, hey, no Draymond, and I think Utah should win that game, especially in Utah.
There was some good news. That was the second out of a back-to-back. On the first game of those two games for Utah, they won their first game of the season without Mike Conley. So that's a little hurdle for the Jazz. Had been winless so far this year on the games that Mike Conley had set out.
Still, oddly though, struggling at home. And this, you know, Utah has traditionally been good at home. I mean, this is a built-in advantage. They've got the elevation. They've got their defense that plays so well everywhere. But then their role players step up at home. And this year, it's not been great, Keith.
Well, when you say not, that's air quotes, not
well,
great
for
at home.
A great team.
For an elite, great team. Sure, they have lost more than you would assume they would playing those home games.
Yeah. And then my big takeaway here, because, you know, it's just one game, but we need to see a little bit more Kuminga, I think. His defensive versatility.
He's fun, man. Oh,
he's going to be huge. And this is the time of year where if I'm the Warriors, I'm trying to sneak more rest time for Andre Iguodala anyway. Seems like you could track Kuminga in a few of these spots. I'm not sure if you want to close games against the Utah Jazz with him, but certainly he should be getting some run because, I mean, I'm getting these 2013 Kawhi vibes where it's like, is this guy going to be playing crunch time defense in the playoffs?
I mean, Iguodala iced the game with the clutch dagger and you're advocating for him not playing. No, clearly he needed to play, Dave, but you're right. We do need, us League Pass junkies flipping around, we need more Kuminga minutes because it's been exciting, exhilarating, the little teases we've gotten so far.
Kind of a surprising big game on Saturday in Brooklyn. The Clippers somehow, I mean, if we're going to call this team the Clippers, somehow beat the Nets 120-116. And Keith, this is the sort of comeback win that, yeah, you expect the Clippers to be able to pull off because they have so much talent. But can you name four or five of these Clippers right now?
Well, I don't want to show off. Yes, I can. But one of them is Justice Winslow. So that's surprising that the Clippers are able to take care of this on the road in Brooklyn. You know, Brooklyn had a 13-point lead midway through the fourth quarter and just somehow lets it get away. A monstrous game from Eric Bledsoe. And then Terrence Mann, we've talked about this before personally a lot. How can you not love that guy? And when you watch him play basketball, just the energy that he plays with and then the plays he makes, he's just a winning player, it feels like. I know that's something that's like an ineffable quality we sometimes assign to guys, whether rightly or wrongly, but he came through huge in this one, and I just sat back and I'm like, yep, winning player. I don't know what the tangible thing I can ascribe to it, but the way he plays, a huge win for the Clippers and a surprising loss for the Nets, who have now dropped two straight.
Yeah, the Clippers scored 40. In the fourth quarter. And I mean, you just cannot give up those kind of fourth quarters if you want to take down these teams. And it was pretty obvious, and Kevin Durant even said this after the game, hey, they were missing a lot of guys. Maybe we were looking to the next game. Maybe we relaxed a little bit too much. And I thought that was pretty obvious, especially from a defensive perspective for the Nets. And to be fair to the Nets, man, they got a lot of guys playing big minutes. I mean, Kevin Durant played 38 minutes in this game. James Harden played 40. They have been shorthanded for a few weeks. So, you know, you're going to catch these guys on an off night. I will say, James Harden, 34 points, 13 assists, 12 rebounds. This is more of what we're used to from James Harden, so maybe we've all been a little bit premature on saying that he's washed up, and maybe this is more of a sign of things to come, Keith.
Yeah, and also, you know, you mentioned them being shorthanded. The Nets, it felt like they're getting a couple guys back. It's just surprising where maybe that they rope-a-dope the Nets a little bit, the Clippers did, by like, there's no Zubac playing, Marcus Morris rested, and it's just one of those things. You feel like you have the game in hand, and then all of a sudden, one late run, and I guess that's why we love NBA basketball, and the Clippers get it done. And now, unfortunately, the Nets have to play reigning Western Conference Player of the Week, Ja Morant, on Monday night.
Well, good luck with that. Well, it's a new year, so that means we've got a new gimmick here on the Daily Ding. We're going to hand out weekly awards. Keith, can't think of a better guy to be handing out weekly awards with here on the Daily Ding. And we've got our Player of the Week. We're going to start in the Eastern Conference, and it was tough because, let's face it, Giannis and the Bucks had a great week. A bunch of guys in the East had a good week. But nobody came close to what DeMar DeRozan did.
Yeah, we already spelled it out. With the two game winners, with the Bulls going 4-0, DeMar DeRozan, absolutely the player of the week. When you were talking about a two-person race between him and Giannis, I thought you were going to say him and Hamidou Diallo for the Pistons, lighting it up last week. And also the Pistons got their own buzzer beater. Shout out Sadiq Bey knocking off the Spurs on Saturday night. Yeah, DeMar DeRozan, easy for the Eastern Conference. The Western Conference, it's my guy, right? I mean, it's Ja Morant. We got to give it to Ja Morant.
I don't know, man. LeBron had a pretty good week. What did he average? 37 points a game for the week?
Oh, and he lost to Ja Morant when Ja scored 40 against him? Yeah. Hey, I saw that game. Now, Ja for the week, averaging 35 points per game, made 80% of his three-pointers for the week. Woo, look out. Happy learned to putt.
That's going to do it for the show, folks. Don't forget, we got Basketball Buds coming up next right here on the Athletic NBA Show, so stay tuned for that. For Keith, I'm Dave. I hope you guys get off to a great start to your week. Keith, let's wrap it up.
Ding, ding.